Well, boys and girls, children, I am so thankful that you're here. As I tell my kids, I want you guys to know that as well, young children, that church is not only for the older people. We love our children, and we love you very much, and we want you to know this great God, and we want you to know this great Savior, and to worship Him, and to love Him, and that will save you a lot of heartache, to live your life for Jesus, not only in this life, but in the one to come as well. So, with all of that said, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We are looking through, we are studying through Proverbs chapters 1 to 9 in kind of an expository format on Wednesday nights. And we're kind of in the middle of chapter 3, and I want to preach on seizing upon all the benefits of the protection of God's great wisdom. I trust that maybe like me, you look at Proverbs and you think, boy, we're looking at wisdom again. And that's true. Evidently, the Lord wants us to learn about divine wisdom because we don't need worldly wisdom. We need God's wisdom, right? So follow with me as I read our text and then we'll study it together. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be at your side, and He will keep your foot from being caught. We pray, O God, that You would teach us from Your perfect and holy and inerrant and sufficient Word this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Protection is important, isn't it? It's very important. We think of safety first, right? You know, when you board a flight, you know, the flight attendant or maybe a video perhaps on your flight is going to give you all the safety instructions to keep you and all the passengers safe on the flight. But of course, that's after you show your ID and you go through security and you show them your boarding pass. Why? It's all about safety. It's all about security. It's all about protection. And so it is with Proverbs. Proverbs protects. The wisdom of God guards. The wisdom of God, quite simply, is good for you. It's good for you. Somebody might read through some Proverbs and hear sermon after sermon going through Proverbs thinking, why does all of this wisdom stuff matter? Why does it really count all that much? Well, think of it in these terms. Think of all that we do to protect our children. A crib, a child protection locks, a baby monitor, background checks, car seats, a children's hospital, floaties, a kiddie pool, baby food, a gate to keep a child or prevent a child from falling down a staircase. And on we could go with the ways that we love and protect our children because we have wisdom. We want to guard them. We want to protect them. We want to look out for them. How much more? How much more does God possess all wisdom? And the wisdom of God is found in the Word of God, and He calls us in the Word, and right here in Proverbs, to get His wisdom and to hold onto His wisdom, to walk by His wisdom, to be happy in His wisdom, because it's a protection through life. It's a guard through life. It's kind of like the guardrails. It's going to keep you on track through life. You know, the section tonight in Proverbs 3 is a remarkable section because it's all about the value of wisdom. It's all about the preciousness of wisdom. It's about the happiness that comes from wisdom. Can I use that word, happiness? It's about the happiness that comes to you as a child of God as you get and glean and hold and walk according to God's wisdom. In fact, just real quickly, before we look at this, keep your finger here and go with me to the book of Colossians. Let me just show you how important wisdom is, even in the book of Colossians. Wisdom provides so much protection and the benefits and the beauty. It's just all through the Word of God. But Paul begins the letter to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "For this reason also, since the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom." Now, Paul prays that believers would be filled with knowledge and wisdom. If you look at chapter 3, and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." So the wisdom is an outflow of the Word of God dwelling in us. But look at chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 5. "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward the outsiders." In other words, how you live your life toward the non-Christians. We are to live and conduct ourselves with wisdom. If you turn back to chapter 1, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1, 28, "We proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom." And you think, well, where do you get this wisdom? I'm glad you asked. Chapter 2 and in verse 3 tells us that in Christ are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all found in Christ. So we look at the book of Colossians and we see the benefits and the usefulness of wisdom. And now we turn back to Proverbs chapter 3 and we're going to see not only the beauty and the benefits of wisdom, but the protection of wisdom. The protection of wisdom. Now, we've looked so far in Proverbs 1, at the need for wisdom and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 2, we saw all the joys that come from wisdom. And then in chapter 3, we saw the priority. We need this wisdom to get us through life. It's the priority of wisdom. Tonight is the protection, and then next week we'll look at all the practicalities of wisdom. But let's look in your outline, really kind of my thesis for tonight. This section is going to give us the protection of wisdom, and we're going to lay hold of God's wisdom in three ways. And very simply, the wisdom of God protects you, number one, by keeping you happy, number two, by keeping you humble, and then number three, by giving you a haven. Happy, humble, and haven. Happy, humble, and haven. A great God protects us. And let's look into his word. Number one, God's wisdom protects you by keeping you happy. It was George Mueller, the great man of faith, that said, "My duty every day is to begin my day with God in the word and in prayer, and to make my soul happy in the Lord." I love that phrase, happy in the Lord. He got it. He got it. He knew what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 5, that riches do not satisfy. He understood what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that riches and money is an unstable foundation upon which to build our life. He understood that the true foundation of real, genuine happiness is the fear of God and having a heart that is fixed upon the goodness and wisdom and grace and gospel of God. Now listen to this for a moment. True happiness comes in delighting in God's law, Psalm 1, how blessed is the man. True happiness comes in Psalm 2 by taking refuge in Jesus Christ. True happiness comes, according to Psalm 112, in fearing the Lord. True happiness comes in Psalm 119 by seeking God with all of your heart. True wisdom comes, according to Jesus, in the Beatitudes, in growing in godliness. Blessed are you. And according to Revelation chapter 1 verse 3, true happiness comes in hearing and reading and obeying the word of God. Happy. Look at Proverbs 3 verse 13. How blessed. I'm making a big deal because of the word happy. Do you know why? Because the word in verse 13 is emphatic in the original Hebrew and it's plural. In other words, it could be rightly translated, how many are the abundant happinesses? This is a good thing. God says right here, how many are the happinesses? How many are the blessednesses of the man who finds the wisdom? That's what God says. And just so we don't miss it, look at the end of verse 18. And happy are all who hold wisdom fast. The beginning of verse 13, at the end of verse 18, you've got sort of an envelope, an inclusio, a bookend structure, beginning and ending. It's all about being happy right here. Well, how do we get this divine happiness? How does it protect us? Look at verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Verse 14. The profit of wisdom is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. You can never go wrong in prioritizing your search of God's wisdom. David said in Psalm 119, verse 72, the law of your mouth is better than thousands of gold or silver pieces. Now, can you say that? Can you say that I have more happiness, more joy than thousands of dollars that come into your bank account? That would be a pretty good day. But how much more is there real, genuine happiness, joy, blessedness that comes from the word of God? Psalm 119, verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above much fine gold. David said it also in Psalm 19. Look at verse 15. The father is going to tell his son, verse 15, wisdom, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you could ever desire compares with her. I love the way it's rendered. Nothing is equal to God's wisdom in value. Nothing can be compared to the wisdom of God. Nothing. Think about it. In your house, in your life, what do you value? What do you treasure? What do you love? What do you protect? What do you guard? What do you have careful oversight of? And it's not bad things. It could be good things. And yet right here, the Bible says nothing that you could ever desire is equal to, compares with, nothing is comparable to the great wisdom that God gives us. It's better than anything. And what is so amazing in verse 16, long life is in her hand, in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. The picture here is of wisdom as a woman. Her right hand is out and her left hand is out, saying, here's divine wisdom, take it. Take it. It's what you need for a long life of glorifying God. To live a full life of glorifying God. Both of the arms are out, offering you all that you need for wisdom and godliness. It's found right here. It's the way Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are. It's the way to happiness. And notice verse 18. She is a tree of life. That makes you think of the book of Genesis, doesn't it? The tree of life, prosperity, plenteousness, bounty. She is a tree of life to those who, now don't miss the verb, take hold. You know, the wisdom of God just doesn't kind of float our way and come naturally to us. We're pretty prone at trusting our own wisdom. But what the Bible says here is we need to take hold of. The Hebrew word means to seize, to grab on to the wisdom of God and not let it go. As if you were in the middle of the ocean and someone threw out a life preserver and you seize it. You hold that thing with all of your might. We must do that with God's word as well. And that's a good question for all of us tonight. Do we treasure the wisdom of God like this? Even young people, boys and girls, do you treasure the wisdom of God? You ask mom and dad questions and you're in school and you learn a lot, but God's wisdom is so much better than anything else you could ever get or receive in this life. It protects you by keeping you happy. Christians ought not to be opposed to happiness, but true happiness comes when we find it in the right place from God and from His Word. So, number two, a second way that God's wisdom protects us. Number two, it keeps you humble. It protects you by keeping you humble. Oh, this is so great. I love the clarity of God's Word. God is the God of wisdom. This morning in our Bible time as a family, we were on the couch and we were singing together the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Our God is a God of wisdom, teaching the children that our God knows everything. And not only does He know everything He does is absolutely perfect and wise. It's best. It's good. God is full of wisdom. God created all things in wisdom. Guess what? Wisdom predates creation. It predates creation. We have a wise God who is infinitely knowledgeable. Look at verse 19. The Lord, Jehovah, by His wisdom, He founded the earth. He laid the foundation of... Well, there's our theology of creation right there. God is the creator. God is the one who created all things. He laid the foundation of the earth. By His understanding, He established the heavens. This is a figure of speech in the Hebrew language. Heavens and earth, meaning everything, all things. God made all that there is. Nothing happened by chance. Nothing happened outside of His decree. How great and how vast and how deep and how unfathomable is the wisdom of our God. Consider with me in your outline some of these brief points as we think about the wisdom of God. In your outline, number one, God created all things. And that word all is very important. There's nothing that came to be apart from God's creation. Colossians 1 verse 16, for by Christ all things were created. All things. Number two in your outline, God created all things with his wisdom. With his wisdom. Look at Psalm 104 verse 24 says this, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. I can't even make a butterfly. Ask my kids, I can't even draw very good. And yet here's the Lord who makes everything. Everything that is. In the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, by his power. Number three in your outline, God created with a spoken word. With a spoken word. We call it divine fiat. Fiat means a spoken word. Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. Psalm 33, verse 9, for God spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. What a God. What a God who created with a word. How powerful the word of our God is. And then, number four in your outline, God created ex nihilo. All that there is, God created out of nothing. Genesis 1 says that very clearly. But notice Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God made all things ex nihilo. I found a hymn in my study. I don't remember if I put this in your outline. But the hymn, actually in the lyrics of the hymn, date back all the way to the 6th century A.D., Listen to these words. O boundless wisdom, God most high, O maker of the earth and sky, who bidst the parted waters flow in heaven above, on the earth below, let faith discern the eternal light beyond the darkness of the night, and through the mists of falsehood see the path of truth is revealed by thee. Church family, think about this. By his wisdom, God hangs the planets. He guides the molecules. God governs all human beings. God knows every creature. God ordains every event. God is never frustrated. I was frustrated even today. But God is never frustrated. God is unfathomable. In his extent of wisdom, in his wisdom, he created the universe. In his wisdom, it is all embodied in Jesus Christ. His wisdom is contained in Scripture. And notice, back to Proverbs 3, if you look at it with me here, notice what Solomon writes when he says this, Proverbs 3, verse 20, by his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. It's language of Genesis, the language of creation, the language of the flood. The deep, when God brought the flood, and the language of the skies bringing forth dew to the ground. God does this. God provides by his wisdom. I think the higher we go in our understanding of God's greatness, and the higher we go in our understanding of the majesty of God, the lower we will go in our humility before God. And rightly so. That's why I put this here in our outline. God's wisdom protects you by giving you, keeping you humble. Our God created. I need him. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance. God has all wisdom because he created, he sustains, he upholds, he's wise. I need to depend upon him. And so do you as well. That's what we need. And God's wisdom is a protection. A protection not only by giving you number one, keeping you happy, number two, by keeping you humble, by reminding you of his power in creation, Now, number three, look in your outline. God's wisdom protects you by giving you a haven, a shelter, a stronghold. I think of verses 21 to 26 as kind of giving you a pillow to rest your head. It's a pillow upon which you can rest your head, that God is your security. Now, hold on real quick. Before we move on and look at the text, Christian, believer, this is your security. Everything that I'm going to say is yours. But if you're here tonight and you're not a believer, nothing I'm about to say applies to you until you come to faith in Jesus. Because there is no stronghold, there is no refuge, there is no shelter from the coming wrath of God apart from Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Our only refuge is found in God. So tonight, if you're not in Christ, you need to turn to the Savior to find a haven, to find the shelter, the refuge, the stronghold. Well, how does Solomon bring it out? Well, look at verse 21. My son, verse 21, let them, that is the wisdom of God, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. You know what the Father is saying? You need this wisdom, and you need to live out and display this wisdom. For example, for my wife's birthday, the kids gave her this nicely packaged gift, and it had a little white bead necklace in it. And they were all excited, and for dinner, the kids got all dressed up, and Hezekiah wore a suit, and the girls all wore dresses, and there we are having dinner together with Elizabeth for her birthday, and she was given orders from the children to wear that white necklace, to have it adorn her. It was visible, it was seen, and the kids loved it. It was obvious, it was easy to be seen hanging around her neck. And that's exactly the imagery that's found right here. You need the wisdom of God, verse 22, and it will be adornment to your neck. It will be for your good. It will guide you. It will adorn you through life. Verse 23. Then, if you have this wisdom from God, look at this. You will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. Your foot will not stumble. There's a lot of things that we can stumble over in this day. In our culture, in our society, we can trip over all kinds of things. There's all kinds of temptations and allurements that can lead us astray. And the Father is saying, my son, if you keep this wisdom, it will guard you so that your steps will be smooth, secure. And maybe you need to hear verse 24. Look at this. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, verse 24, your sleep will be sweet. Look, you can sleep well as you trust in God's protection. Maybe you or you know somebody who battles with fear, perhaps worry, perhaps anxiety, perhaps even in the dark hours of the middle of the night. And it's hard to trust in God when you're fearful and we're so narrow-minded on the circumstances. And the Father is saying to the Son, look up to the wisdom of God and you'll sleep well. It'll be a pillow for your head. It's like in Psalm 3. Remember when David was running from Saul? I mean, Saul wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill him. And when we read in Psalm 3, what does David say? David says, I lay down, I slept, and I woke up, for the Lord sustains me. Now, if I had somebody running after me to kill me, I don't know if I could say, I lay down and I slept great last night. But David did in Psalm 3. And you can too, with God's wisdom and a trust in him. Look at verse 25 as well. He goes on, "Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes." How many are the temptations that come our way? Oh no, this could happen. And the fear of the unknown, and the fear of danger, the fear of disaster, the fear of harm. It's like King Joash. Remember King Joash, the young seven-year-old king? Some of you children are 7 years old here. Think of King Joash, the godly young king over Judah, when Aram, that is Syria, was coming to invade Judah, and Joash feared. He was afraid. Rather than praying, and rather than trusting in God, he took all the gold and silver from the temple and all the goods, and he gave it to the king, and he said, "Take all the money and go away." He didn't fear God. He didn't trust God. He was trusting in his money to deliver him at that point. Contrast that with Elisha. Remember Elisha when he was with one of his servants on that one occasion when the king of Aram also came down and was fighting against Israel, and they were surrounded on all sides, the mountain, with horses and chariots, and the city was encircled, and the servant cried out in fear, "Elisha, my master." I love this. Get this verse. Elisha said, "Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Never forget that verse. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Let that be your confidence as well. You know, verse 25, you don't need to be afraid of sudden fear. We don't need to live a life of fear. We know God. We have the God of wisdom. It's a protection through life. And then, as if it couldn't be any better, as if we couldn't have more comfort from God in this haven that God gives us, look now at verse 26. "For," the Father says, verse 26, "the Lord will be your confidence." Or literally, "the Lord is at your side." You know, there are times when my children can be afraid, left to themselves. But when Daddy enters the room, they're not afraid anymore. How much more when the Lord is at our side do we have no reason to be afraid? No reason to be afraid. We don't face trials alone. Christian, God is with you. God is for you. He's at your side. He is sustaining you. Verse 26 ends, "He will keep your foot from being caught." Paul was in jail at the end of his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it reminds me when he was in that prison and he remembered how the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Church family, you can rest in the Lord. You have a haven in God. You have a protection in God and in His wisdom. What a great God. What a great section in Proverbs that we have the sufficient, the true, the reliable Bible, the Word, the wisdom of God to guard us and to protect us. Just in closing there in your outline, there's a number of bullet points, and not to dwell on them, but notice, follow with me in these bullet points. To fear God is wisdom. The Bible says that God counts all of the clouds by wisdom. The spirit of wisdom and understanding rests upon Christ, Isaiah 11 and Luke 4. All wisdom comes from God, Daniel 2:20. True wisdom is from God, and it's very distinct from worldly wisdom, James 3. You want to know how to get wisdom? Prayer. Ask God, and He'll give wisdom to all generously. Wisdom is the sacred, it's in the sacred writings, and it leads you to faith in Christ. I came across these words on wisdom. Follow with me in your outline and just ponder these that come really right out of the Proverbs. So helpful. We can conclude with this, and then Tom can lead us in a time of prayer. But follow with me as I read these poetic lines. Where can one look for wisdom? Where understanding find? Man does not grasp its value more than can be mined. It can't be bought with finest gold, silver or jewels so rare. Priced far beyond all rubies, nothing can compare. Where then does wisdom come from? Where understanding dwell? God comprehends the pathway. He alone knows well. He views the ends of all the earth. He sees the world he formed. He has established wisdom, tested and confirmed. Fear of the Lord is wisdom. Seek it, and you will find. Cry out for understanding. Let it fill your mind. Search is for hidden treasure. Look for it every day. This is the path to wisdom. Follow all the way. Church family, may this be a good, needed word from our great God to you and me tonight, that we would be reminded yet afresh, not only of the greatness of wisdom, but of the protection and the security that we have in our God's wisdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your protection. Thank you that you are at our side. Thank you for the wisdom embodied in Christ and now contained for us in the written revelation of Scripture. Meet with us now as we pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen.